So this morning during my children's talk, I had some fun and spoke to our children about the symbolism of the anchor. The anchor that's now sitting in front of my prayer desk for all of you to see when you come up for communion. The anchor that's a symbol of our hope. The hope that on this first Sunday of Advent we hold up before God and ask God to bless and sanctify as we begin this season of holy preparation. The sacred season of waiting and watching and getting ready. The season that is pregnant with our expectation, pregnant with our yearning for new life. The season that we call Advent. The anchor is an ancient Christian symbol, as you know. If you were to visit the catacombs in Rome today or the meeting places of the early Christians in ancient cities like Ephesus, to this day, and I've seen them myself, you will see anchors carved onto the walls. You'll see anchors adorning historic Christian meeting places, and even carved above the graves of some of the earliest followers of Jesus. Now, some historians say that the anchor was chosen as a symbol by the early Christians because it, like the ichthys, that symbol of the simple fish that now we see so often glued to the backs of our cars as bumper stickers, the anchor, like the ichthys, was a symbol synonymous with the ministry of fishermen, with the ministry of poor fishermen like St. Andrew, the first apostle to be called, St. Andrew, whose feast day we celebrated this past Friday. Other historians say that the anchor was chosen because it provided a surreptitious way, a camouflaged way, you might say, to depict the cross. A camouflaged way to depict the cross in an era when to be overtly Christian was to invite persecution, to invite the very kind of torture and death with which the Roman cross was already synonymous. A slow and painful death, a death marked by humiliation and degradation and shame. Now, most of you know by now that I'm a fairly avid fisherman. That's probably putting it a little bit lightly. Just give the ice another month or so, and I will be out there on our lakes drilling holes in search of pickerel to my heart's content. And growing up as an avid angler, I have vivid memories of making my first boat anchor with my father at our family cottage. I was about 10 years old at the time, and we had just finished replacing the cement footings on our small cabana. And my father took a piece of leftover sonotube, about, I'd say 6 inches high and maybe 10 inches around. And he took this leftover piece of sonotube and he filled it with cement from a wheelbarrow and he stuck a metal eyelet in the middle and he said, "There, don't touch it. Let it dry and you've got yourself a boat anchor." It beat spending $20 at Canadian Tire for the kind of anchor that I have today. Not that my family is in any way Scottish. I remember learning how to tie a rope to the anchor that Dad and I made. I still have that anchor, by the way, and use it every summer when I go and visit my parents. I remember learning how to let it down to the bottom of the lake as a boy and learning how to lift it back up safely in the boat. I remember my mother constantly saying to me as a child before I'd head out into the lake to go fishing on my own, which was always a huge privilege, "Matthew, do you have your life jacket on?" "Yes, Mom," I'd say. And then always, without fail, her second question would follow. "Is the anchor in the front of the boat?" "Yes, Mom," I'd say. And I never understood as a child why Mom always wanted the anchor to be in the front of the boat. You see, from my perspective, it slowed our 14-foot aluminum boat down. And as a 12-year-old learning to drive a 9-9 two-stroke all by myself, I wanted to be going as fast as I could. And Mom knew that too. But Mom also knew that if another boat came along and a big wave went up and hit the bow of our little boat, the weight of having that big, heavy anchor in the front would keep little old me from capsizing. And I also learned pretty quickly that having the anchor in the front meant that I had a really long rope with me. And a really long rope became really convenient when my beloved 9-9 all of a sudden died in the middle of the lake. because getting a tow home from my uncle with that rope was always more enjoyable than rowing a mile and a half to get all the way home, even though Mom and Dad insisted that I learn how to row too. The thing with anchors is that they always seem to come in handy when you least think that you'll need them. It can be a clear, calm day with nothing but sun in the sky and, God willing, very, very hungry fish in the lake. And then suddenly a speedboat blasts by, and the weight of the anchor in the bow is the only thing that keeps you from flipping over. Or it's a clear, calm day and suddenly the motor breaks down, and now your poor uncle is using that rope to tow you home. Isn't it funny how the same fundamental dynamic often applies with hope? It can be a clear, calm day with no obstacles in sight. All is at peace and going well in the world. And then your phone rings. You find out that a loved one's in hospital. And suddenly your world is turned upside down. Suddenly hope is the most important thing that you have. Hope is your lifeline. Hope is your anchor. Hope is the one thing that is going to get you through this. As Roger said so eloquently at Shirley's funeral on Thursday, hope is a precious and holy gift. Hope is a beautiful and sacred gift of God's love that is continually reborn, continually renewed by the richness of God's grace. But just like an anchor, hope tends to be of very, very little use to us if we don't make room for it. Hope is of little use to us if we don't care for it and tend to it, if we leave it up on shore. Hope is of very little use to us if it's not actually in our boat. As we begin this season of Advent, this season of holy preparation, of spiritually making room as a church family in our souls for the incarnate grace that God so freely pours out in Christ Jesus our Lord, I want to challenge us as a church family to think about our anchors. Let's think about our anchors this December. What are the things in our lives that are our lifelines? What are the things that reveal to us, that reveal for us, God's sacred gift of hope? Are we remembering to put those anchors in our boats? Maybe for some of us, an anchor, something that reveals to you God's hope, is taking time with God in prayer before you go to bed at night. Or maybe it's reading a short passage of Scripture first thing when you get up in the morning. Maybe it's baking cookies with your grandchildren in your kitchen, or reading a favorite book, or going for an afternoon snowshoe in the forest with someone who you love. That was me yesterday afternoon. Think of what those anchors are for you, for your family. And now let's ask ourselves together as a church family, when was the last time we did that? When was the last time we prioritized that? When was the last time that we checked to see if the anchor was in the boat? When was the last time that I checked to see if the anchor was there and the rope was in decent shape and the knots were firm and tight? Part of the reason why we have Advent each year as a time of spiritually refocusing and getting ready is because we know the big waves will come. Big waves always come. And on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. All three of our readings today allude to big waves in one form or another. The exile for Jeremiah, the early persecutions for Paul, and yes, for Jesus, the impending journey to Calvary. A big rogue wave always will come our way. And the incarnate God upon whom we wait this Advent puts on flesh and enters into this world precisely because he loves us so much that he wants to ride out those big waves with us. The infant of Bethlehem lies vulnerably for all of us to see, wrapped in swaddling clothes in a stinky manger, because he wants to redeem those big waves with us. wants to be for us our anchor. He wants to be for us our hope that will see us safely through. Will we make room for him in our boats this Advent? Will we make room for him at the inn this Advent? May God grant us the grace to see the holy gifts, the holy and precious and life-giving gifts that are our anchors, and to make room for them in our lives. To make room for those things, those places, and most especially those people who reveal for us and sustain in us God's sacred gift of hope. May God grant us the grace during this season of holy preparation, of holy waiting, to pause for a moment, to pause for a moment at the shore, check the bow of the boat, and make sure the anchor is in there. Amen.